It's time for Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. The first hour of Sports Time is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome in to Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our family leisure studios. Johnny Hill producing as always. We're Sports Time. We're with you for the next 3 hours. A lot to get to. Some fun basketball last night. Some interesting baseball games going on already today, but also last night. And some Tiger news in there as well that we'll definitely have to get to. So a ton to get to over the next 3 hours. And we've got plenty of time to do it. But Brett, how are you this afternoon?
Brian, I'm doing well. Good afternoon to you and Johnny and to everyone. And we start May. Here we go. We got a third of the year in the books.
Crazy.
This middle third will be the countdown to the best time of year for me.
Sure.
The countdown to college football season. It's coming soon. But the Cardinals already went out there and posted that L today, haven't they?
Oh, man, yep. It just keeps on getting rough for the Cardinals.
How rough is it, you ask?
Is that my question to you? Do you have how rough it is? Okay, Brett, how rough is it?
I do, Bryant. Cardinals have scored one or less six times this year. Two or less 10 times this year. That's through 31 games.
Wow. That's not a recipe for success.
No.
Not at all.
Puts a lot of pressure on everything else to go real right. Day off tomorrow and then three against the hapless White Sox. You know, we have three teams that are really in the running to join the 62 Mets as the most futile team ever.
Well, how about that?
We got to get it out of one of the three, don't we?
You'd think. I mean, it feels like odds are pretty good that one of those teams will be able to break it.
But I don't want it for any of them.
No, me neither. But, you know, we're certainly hovering around there, and it's getting pretty ugly. And, you know, we've seen two of those teams that are really struggling, Marlins and Rockies, going at it right now. White Sox right there. They were up early in
now
this
tied.
Game, and now it's tied. It's how a lot of their games have gone this year. They'll get up, they'll kind of look like
sure
they'll
has.
Have some life, and then later in the game, that other team just finds a way to come back. Bullpen for the White Sox is not very good at all. So it's been it really has been a struggle.
Can't pitch Kopic every day. I think they may have found something with him.
Sure.
But Minnesota really good. Minnesota now winners of 9 in a row. If they pull this
Holy
one
cow.
Out that's tied now, that'd make it 10 in a row for the Twinks. So of the three bad teams, 200 baseball for the 6-24 Southsiders.
Wow.
226 baseball for Miami. Mm. 241 baseball for Colorado. Of those three, which one, if one had to finish and be worse than the expansion 62 Mets managed by Casey Stengel, who lamented during the season, can anybody here play this game?
Mm-hmm.
And also that year they had the very colorful Jimmy Pearsall on their team that when he hit his 100th career home run, he circled the bases backwards.
How about that?
who would you want to see join them? Top them.
I don't know if I want to see any of them
top them.
But if I said who's likeliest, in my opinion, to top them, I think it's the Rockies. Just not a very good team. I think the White Sox, like I said, a lot of these games, they get ahead. It's just not being able to keep those leads. I think at some point they're going to go on a run. They're going to find something where they rattle off a handful of games with them getting up ahead. But I don't see that with the Rockies. I think Bud Black, I think we both had him as our first manager out. I think that's probably going to be the case. It feels like it. And so I think they're probably the likeliest team to do it.
And their attendance has really dropped off at Coors Field. It could be them. Every time I've ever told that Jimmy Pearsall story since from the first time I've ever told it. Can you imagine doing that now?
No.
Wouldn't both bullpens empty?
Yes.
And a whole lot of the unwritten rules being broken
before you can even get around first base. I mean, everybody's out there.
They may throw at him as he's between shortstop and third.
Yeah, and have the umpire throw more balls out for just everyone to just pick a ball up and
everybody
start
throw
trying
a ball
to peg him.
like at the state fair.
Yeah, that's right. So be fine, like playing dodgeball or something.
Yeah.
Yes, and then we had a speaking of throwing at guys and bullpens coming out. We had that last night in the Brewers and Rays game, and
we're currently throwing more punches than they throw.
Sure. Well, I don't know. They were throwing not a lot of connections last night.
But some haymakers.
There were some fists being thrown. Big difference though in really throwing hands, getting after it, and just kind of swinging at air. And that's kind of what they were doing last night. But
and nobody in uniform, no team management, no fan has the stomach for a real Donnybrook.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. I mean, you do not want something where you've got guys knocked out or all bloody, and nobody wants that. I mean,
baseball doesn't want that image, and those players look all know. It's millions of dollars if I wreck your shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
If I pick you up and drop you on your head like Lou Piniella did Bill Spaceman Lee and wrecked his shoulder for the rest of his career, nobody wants to do that.
No, not at all. But something I do find interesting when it comes to Major League Baseball is whenever you see benches clearing, here come the bullpen guys, especially, I noticed it last night, and last night was really when I connected it. Major League Baseball will, usually post those videos on their official social media sites. And it's very weird to me because, I don't think the NBA would post, if a couple guys got into it on the court.
No.
The NBA
especially
wouldn't post
that. Especially after Malice.
Exactly. NFL wouldn't post that. It's just very weird to me that Major League Baseball is bench is clear in Milwaukee and post the video, because usually you would think that's something that they wouldn't want to
post. That's a good take. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, it's weird to me. And I was talking about this with Zach earlier today, and I was like, is there another, what other sport? And he goes, hockey. I go, that's a... It's a fair point.
See no hockey fighting at Stanley Cup time.
No, you don't. And I think a lot of that is just how physical the game, kind of like what we talk about in basketball, it gets a lot more physical when you get to Stanley Cup. Those guys are out there fighting for their lives.
And a little bit of a truce of, let's not have this and just the chance of a broken jaw putting out a good player.
Absolutely. And so you're right. You don't see it as much. That's definitely more of a regular season thing. But man, those Stanley Cup playoffs have been fun to watch so far. The NBA playoffs have been really fun to watch, and we had some good games last night. We talked about it.
Last night's Knicks Sixers game was classic.
Oh, one of the all times. That one's going to go down into history. But we talked yesterday, two games with the opportunity to wrap it up, two teams with the opportunity to wrap it up. Neither one able to do it last night. Made for some really, really fun basketball.
And it gives a little life, and nobody knows when you're going to have the Porzingis injury.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know in the 7-game series, usually spanned over 2 weeks, just a lot can happen.
Sure can. And we're seeing a lot of injuries here and there. I mean, look at the Bucks. Now they're down two of their superstars in Giannis and Dame, and are able to find a way to win it at home last night against the Pacers. But, it's different for a lot of these teams. And so, it's been fun. And last night you mentioned that 76ers and Knicks game. And I mean, what Tyrese Maxey is doing, what he did last night in that game, that game-tying shot at the logo on the road with 8 seconds left to drill that and send into overtime. I mean, that is a staple play. That is a staple moment for him and for the 76ers. That game was unbelievable last night.
And for Garden history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And has been some, because of kind of, and obviously the Garden's always jumping around playoff time, but especially with how this kind of series has gone to start out, I mean, the Garden has turned into a hostile place
for
the 76ers. The reactions have been great, and it's made for a thriller of a series, and now.
Did you see Tracy Morgan flip him off?
How about that? as he
strolled off to the bench.
They were going to a timeout. They had the close up of Maxey, and right behind him, you could see
Tracy Morgan.
Not happy at all about what was happening on the court, and let it known. But I will say, Tracy Morgan, do it while he's looking at you.
He did it while he was behind.
You got to do it while he's looking. So that was a fun game in overtime. 76ers 112-106 over the Knicks. And then the Bucks to be able to stay alive at home without Dame and Giannis. I thought that was really, really impressive. Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, both 29-point double-doubles. Who would have thought Bobby Portis would be the hero of the first round for the Bucks? He's an awesome player. I love Bobby Portis, and he was great last night.
Who wins those two series left?
Oh, man. Who knows? I mean, this has been so fun.
I'm worried about the Knicks. I have the Knicks. Yeah. Bryant, you have Philadelphia. Johnny, you picked the Knicks in that series. I have Indiana in the Bucks-Pacers series. Y'all both have the Bucks.
It's just so hard for, you know, kind of looking at the Bucks and Pacers. I think it's so hard still for the Bucks to come back down 3-2. You know, have to win two more games. But depending on health, if they can get Damian Lillard back, if they can get Giannis back, I think that changes a lot. If both those guys can come back and be, you know, somewhat productive these next two games, yeah. I think the Bucks can win it, and that would be a massive win for them.
I got complete confidence in the Bucks, especially
really?
Off that, man. After that game, I have a confident win.
Yeah,
I'm completely confident in them. And that's even more demoralizing for the Pacers because they didn't have their guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm worried about the Knicks, like what Brett said. Losses like that can...
That's a backbreaker.
That can terminate and destroy your confidence as a team, especially since they're young.
Yeah.
It can, and it looked like, you know, the Knicks were right there to wrap it up, to close out a game at Madison Square Garden, and then Tyrese Maxey happened.
Crazy.
In a blink of an eye.
Up six with less than 30 seconds left in the game.
That's hard to do.
I mean, that's almost a guaranteed win. I know there's no guarantees out there, but that's as close to a guaranteed win as you're going to get. And to be able, 76ers come back from that one was really, really impressive last night. And then to go out and win by 6 points was even more impressive in overtime. And then that middle game I thought was also a lot of fun. Cavs and Magic. Cavs get the 1-point win, but really impressive game for both sides.
Kind of a lonely, forgotten series, isn't it?
And, you know, honestly, I hate that these games are on NBA TV because I feel like it's very easy to forget. You get locked into the national TNT game, and then you go, oh, wait, there's a game on NBA TV, and you kind of switch it over and find it. And so, but that game last night was fun. I mean, super close down the stretch. They were kind of going back and forth, and a couple big-time plays for the Cavaliers able to secure that win, and now they go up 3-2 with an opportunity in the next game on the road to secure it in Orlando. But keep in mind, it's been all home teams this series between the Magic and the Cavs. Cavs went up 2-0. It felt like they were playing really good and that they would make it look easy against the Magic. We go back to Orlando. They take two. And then last night in Cleveland, obviously, the Cavs win it. So we'll see what happens as this one moves back to Orlando. But this could be one that is just chalk. Home team wins every time and Cavs win it in seven.
I said it during the course of the AAC season that I couldn't wait until Florida Atlantic drifted back into Forgottenville. Mm-hmm. And I think they will I really believe people will look up and go, they went to the Final Four in 2023?
Yeah.
And that will be the feeling around that program because it's not going to have any – it's not going to be sustained.
Mm-hmm.
And now John L. Davis going to Arkansas.
Yeah, that was you know, the big one. We kind of learned last week that it was going to come down between Kentucky and Arkansas, and you know, I think he took visits to both places, and Arkansas ultimately able to land him. But you're absolutely right; that entire FAU roster, all the guys that they really leaned on these last 2 years, are all gone. Handful of them up to Michigan following Dusty May, John L. Davis, obviously the big one not to follow him, and he lands at Arkansas. And you know, it's a big pickup for Cal at Arkansas. He's a terrific player, but you're right. FAU is going to look entirely different. I mean, they're not even going to look like the same program next year.
They're going 9-19. You can get ready for it. It'll be a disaster and ain't good enough for them. And I know people are going, but you know, the Tigers need it to, you know, help prop up that league. No, what the Tigers need in that league is to dominate.
Sure. Yeah, means go out.
Leave no question about it.
Yes, yes, and so yeah, I don't think they're you know, it's going to be certainly different, and I don't know how much I think they're going to bring in and how really good they'll be next year. But you know, who knows? That's how coaching changes go now with the transfer portal.
That's right. Yesterday when we were talking about that on three story about the end at Kentucky for John Calipari, I do want to make this point, even with my heavy criticism of him and about him. My question at the end of every coaching tenure, did they leave it better than they found it? If you answer yes to that, yes, they did leave it better, then it was a successful tenure.
Sure.
Did John Calipari leave it better than he found it from Billy Clyde Gillespie?
Absolutely.
Resoundingly,
yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I just don't say. Did Eric Musselman leave it better than he found it at Fayetteville?
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of all's good there.
Sure.
You can then apply a variation of that question to the old question famously in politics from a debate one time. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago?
Mm.
I ask this question. Today, Kentucky basketball, are you better off with Mark Pope or with John Calipari? Arkansas, are you better off with John Calipari, Eric Musselman? I say Arkansas can say yes, and Kentucky cannot say yes.
Yeah. No, I think you're right about that. And Mark Pope, now kind of
we're
starting to see those commitments.
There's nobody in Big Blue Nation that on February 10th said, you know what, at the end of the year, what we really need to do is fire John Calipari and hire Mark Pope.
Mark Pope, that's right, that's right. Well, even after John Calipari left and they were going through, who could we hire? Nobody was saying, you know what, Bill, you know, bulletin board hire, put his first name top of the list, Mark Pope. That's our guy. We got to go get him.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. February 10th, if somebody had said, you know, I know two Elite Eights and I know a Sweet 16, but I'm scared of the direction this is going in. We need to fire Eric Musselman, and I think we can hire John Calipari.
Oh, man.
You jump at it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. So it's very interesting. And now we're seeing how those two programs are playing out now with the new guys in charge. And obviously Cal making some headlines, going and getting John L. Davis, a couple other pretty good guys out of the transfer portal. And Kentucky starting to build that roster now under Mark Pope. But let me set up today's show before we get to top and not top story of the day. 3:30, we'll get back to the conversation of the NBA playoffs. Those three games last night were all really, really fun to watch, all three of them. We've got a pair of games tonight, including what I think a lot of people would consider the best series right now, Mavs and Clippers. That series tied 2-2, so we'll talk about both these games, that one, and then Heat and Celtics. That will get us started at 6:30. We'll do all that in our next segment. 3:45, we'll talk baseball. We've got already a couple of finals in the books from today, but also a full slate of games last night. Some really interesting things. We talked about the bench clearing. We also had a B delay late last night in Arizona. So it's interesting
night
in baseball.
Who had that on the bingo card?
No, not at all.
The B delay.
It was crazy. It was unbelievable.
And it was a wad of them, wasn't it?
Sure was. I mean, had to have the guy come out in full suit and
how about that guy's day?
Good for him, you know.
I mean, this time yesterday, first of all, certified beekeeper.
How about that?
How about that?
That's a job.
I mean,
I know we
need them.
Sure.
I know they're out there.
Yeah.
Never met one.
No.
But you know, he's just while away his day in Phoenix, Scottsdale area, and gets the emergency call.
Bring, bring. We need you down to the ballpark ASAP. It's crazy. So
and he ends up throwing out the first pitch.
I mean, that's the least you could do for him. I mean, game doesn't even happen without him. Let him throw the first pitch.
Beat the Dodgers with him.
That's right. That's right.
They need him
game
at the park every night.
Let's get the bees going. I mean, honestly, you see a lot of people. You know, when something like that happens, when something small like that happens, like you'll get like a rally cat or a rally rat. People rally around it and make it like the team mascot almost for that season. Maybe the Diamondbacks, maybe they got the rally bees. I don't know.
If they go on and win a World Series, does he get a ring and a playoff chair?
I say absolutely.
Especially, why not?
Especially if they really like, you know, buy into it, I say absolutely. That would be all-timer. 4 o'clock, John Goen from Timber Trust Golf. He'll join us. We'll talk some golf and make our picks for this weekend's tournament, the Byron Nelson. Still going first in our picks, so wasn't a great weekend for me. But it was a good one for John, the guy that just comes in and says, I didn't really prepare for picks today. Why not just go with Higo and Fox?
Wait a second. We're bearing the lead. I won last week with the winner.
Well, Brett, then there's you. Who picked Rory McIlroy, the guy that John
didn't want to be there.
Didn't want to be there. Thank you, Johnny. That's a great point.
I won double with him coming out of the second pick. I got him fifth or sixth.
He sure did. He was still on the board. I should have taken him.
$5 million.
Uh-huh. Good job. Very
John,
good.
John won $468,000.
Well, and Brett, and we'll revisit
this. I need my credit, Brian. I'm sorry.
No, I
haven't brought it up all week either, have I?
No, you have not. And I,
humble
I
man.
Apologize that I haven't. I think we talked about it on Monday, though. But I will bring it up.
I don't know that we did. I don't know that I got enough credit.
Johnny, run back the tapes.
I need a few more pats on the back.
Well, look, I'll give it to you because, honestly.
You deserve the pat on the back, Brett.
I had to ask for it, though, Johnny. If you got to ask for the pat on the back,
it would never come.
Hey, we were going to get to it.
Especially with Brett. You know how Brett. You don't like giving pats on the back.
Here's the thing. I give you all the credit because I think you have the first legitimate winner of the season. Of course,
there you go. You hear that? You hear that?
It was a secondary tour. You're the first guy that hadn't picked Scottie Scheffler to win it. So I mean, you know,
you can have life in the golf picks without Scottie Scheffler.
That's right. So you get a lot of credit. We'll talk a lot of golf at 4 o'clock. 4:30. We had some NFL news as we're getting closer and closer to the season and to some more news coming out with scheduling and all of that. 4:45, big number of the day. 5 o'clock, Rob Fisher will join us from the Grizzlies Television, also Grind City Media, joining us to talk the NBA playoffs. Plenty to get to there. 5:30, we'll get to what's trending. And at 5:45, we'll wrap up today's show like we always do with Taco Bell Crunch Time. Let me remind you, we're in our Family Leisure Studios where family and fun come together. Head out to Family Leisure for factory direct pricing on swimming pools, spas, and patio furniture. It's patio season. Come by Family Leisure and check out the new 2024 patio furniture sets. Pool season will be here before we know it, so buy now and get in line for your pool installation and get preseason pricing. Save $1,000 to $5,000 on all spas and swim spas. Also, special pricing on all in-stock saunas, theater seating, pool tables, and outdoor kitchens, but only at Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40.
We are Sports Time with Bryant and Brett and produced by Johnny Hill, and we're with you until 6 o'clock, and I know a lot of Ole Miss fans might have looked at schedules printed way before the season started and see 6 o'clock first pitch. It's not. It's at 6:30 tonight. Mm-hmm. It got moved for TV, so we'll go to that pregame down in Pearl, Mississippi, the Governor's Cup, at 6 o'clock. You can text or call us at 901-360-8255. That's the Sissy's Log Cabin text and call line, and all our guests will appear on that same number, 901-360-8255, on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. This hour of our show brought to you every day by Lexus of Memphis at 2600 Ridgeway and online at lexusofmemphis.com. Great offers on all 2024 models and always special leasing options. Drive in luxury and confidence knowing that every new Lexus comes with complimentary first and second maintenance services. Call them at 901-334-9673, but stop by the one and only Lexus dealership in town at 2600 Ridgeway and put yourself in the driver's seat of the all-new 2024 flagship LS500, and you'll be driving in style. When you purchase a Lexus, you get top-of-the-line engineering and design, and they make for the luxury driving experience. Online at lexusofmemphis.com. Experience amazing. Experience amazing at Lexus of Memphis.
Top story of the day.
Well, we've got a lot of Tiger basketball news to talk about, and we might come back to and talk about it further at about 5:30 with what's trending, but I did want to bring it up with my top story today. It came out, a few people reporting it. I think Doc Holliday was the first I saw to report it. I think Leon Taylor was right after him, and then later in the night, when more and more information came out about it, you saw more people reporting it, doing stories on it, but Andre Turner will join Penny Hardaway's staff next year. It's not clear yet what kind of role he will be on, but it is clear that he will be a part of this staff. Jason Munns did a story about it last night, but also tweeted out this morning that per his sources that Andre Turner has begun to tell Lane College that he will be leaving. Obviously, he's been the head coach there for the last 3 years, that he'd be stepping down from his position as head coach at Lane to join Penny Hardaway's staff. So I know a lot of Memphis fans going to be excited that Andre Turner will be back a part of the program. Again, we don't know what role he'll be, but we'll certainly be on staff, and that is certainly fun to see. The other big Tiger news we got last
night. Got to bring back the fist offense with the little general.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Bring it back immediately, I say. But the other news we got yesterday, it was being reported that today, obviously, the final day in the transfer portal to enter your name. Now, we'll still see probably a few names trickle in tomorrow because today is the deadline to get that information into your athletic department. And sometimes with timing, stuff like that, it takes a little long and it might not be reported until tomorrow. But it was reported last night by various Memphis outlets that David Jones would not enter the transfer portal, which means that his decision would come down to either the pro route or the Tiger route. We've talked a lot about where our confidence is on him returning. I tell you this, him not putting his name in the transfer portal definitely shoots my confidence up that he will return next year, because you see it a lot. I think a lot of people were confident that David Jones would want to come back to Memphis, and I think I was confident that too. I think him and Penny Hardaway have a great relationship. I think he enjoyed playing here for this team, but you do see a lot of guys that when they test the NBA draft, they will also enter their name in the transfer portal just because they want to see all of their options. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to go to the NBA, go pro, or even transfer. They might end up right back at the school they played at the year before, but they want to have those options out there. And the fact that that David Jones is not putting his name in the transfer portal, I think it's huge for the Tigers. Now we will see what happens. Obviously, if he goes and gets testing done, works out for teams, and they say, hey, man, you're ready right now, we'll take you in the second round, and you're going to be a part of our franchise moving forward, then absolutely, I want him to take that opportunity if he thinks it's the best for him. But also, I do like the chances now of him returning and being a part of Penny Hardaway's program.
Yeah, I'd much rather go into next year with him than without
Absolutely.
And we know he's a bucket getter. Mm-hmm. Want to play a little more defense next
Absolutely.
Year. But you do it on that end like that. We can allow a little time off on the defensive end. My top story, the Knicks, they had the series. In control late. Madison Square Garden on fire. Next round potentially versus the Pacers. Could dream of Eastern Conference Finals. Against the Pacers, that would conjure up memories of Reggie Miller versus Spike Lee. But then Tyrese Maxey happened, and miraculous comeback. 7 points and 28.9 in regulation. 46 points in 52 minutes for Tyrese Maxey. The Knicks had a chance to close out a playoff series at the Garden for the first time since going to the NBA Finals in 1999 and couldn't get it done.
Not top story of the day.
Well, my not top story of the day, it's right where you were talking about the NBA playoffs from last night. A ton of fun all night long. We started with that 76ers-Knicks game that was just crazy. I mean, Knicks had it. You could feel the energy at Madison Square Garden. They knew that they were advancing to the next round. But enter Tyrese Maxey, who went off. Unbelievable game for him. 46 points, 9 assists, 5 rebounds, nearly 52 minutes of action, including 22 points that he scored in the fourth quarter and in overtime. It was complete takeover mode. He took over, put the team on his back, and said, let's go and win this game. Also, Joel Embiid, despite missing shoot-around yesterday, he was awesome. Recorded his first postseason triple-double of his career. He was really, really good. And on the other side, the Knicks weren't bad. They shot nearly 50% from the field. They did struggle shooting the three ball, but it wasn't like they were playing bad. It was just the 76ers stepped up to the plate and took that game from them. We had the game after that between the Cavs and the Magic, a fun back-and-forth affair where it just came down to a couple of late plays that the Cavs cashed in on to win that one, and then the late-night game. Just incredible that the Bucks, down two of their stars, Giannis and Dame, able to get a 115-92 win. Four Pacers finished in double figures. Obi Toppin off the bench also finished in double figures, but all five of the Bucks starters, including two 29-point double-doubles, led the way by Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis, lead to a win for the Bucks. Just a really fun night of basketball.
My not top story, and it's really reflective of his NBA head coaching career and how I don't think he's really ever been fully supported or appreciated. In the forgotten game last night, J.B. Bickerstaff in Cleveland, now one away from eliminating Orlando. Yeah. They were favored in the series. They should win the series. And facing probably Boston in the next round, we can assume that. If they blow a 3-2 lead, he's out in Cleveland. If they get swept by Boston or maybe even 4-1, he's probably out in Cleveland.
Yep.
He's taken some hopeless jobs, done a good job with them, and it's never been fully supported or appreciated.
No, it hasn't. He's done a good job, and even we had the stories earlier this year of people in the front office wanted him out, and it's been crazy. I think he's done a great job
and
with the Cavs.
About one of the nicest people ever to deal with.
Absolutely. It really is crazy. But that'll do it for top and not top story of the day. Let's go ahead and get to our first break, and when we come back, we'll talk more about the NBA playoffs. That's next on Sports Time.
We are real sports talk. Sports 56 WHBQ. Available on your radio dial at 560 AM and 98.5 FM, as well as around the world online at sports56whbq.com. Take us with you everywhere by downloading the Sports 56 app. And at home, just say, Alexa, play Sports 56. Wherever you are, stay tuned in to Real Sports Talk. Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Welcome back into Sports Time. Bryant and Brett with you in our Family Leisure Studios. And we spent a lot of time in the first segment talking about the games from last night in the NBA playoffs. They were just so much fun. I mean, I could not take my eyes off of them. Trying to watch the end of the 76ers and Knicks game and the end of the Magic and Cavs game at the same time, and then seeing that third game in there. It was really interesting last night. But, two teams, mentioned it earlier, had the opportunity to wrap up those series, neither able to do it. Now tonight, we'll have the Celtics with the same opportunity up 3-1 against the Heat. They're 13.5-point favorite tonight. Feels like the chances are pretty good for them to wrap it up tonight.
Yeah, it feels real good for Boston, and point spread was 14.5 earlier today. It's now 13.5. The Mavericks are favored on the road tonight against the Clippers. Mavericks are 3.5-point favorite. You surprised?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, this has been so back and forth, and the fact that the road team's favorite blows my mind, honestly.
But last night, it was classic Madison Square Garden.
Sure.
We joke about the kind of the New York media and their infatuation of the Knicks are back, the Knicks are making a run.
Right.
And the Knicks, this is 51 years since they last won a title. 1973, the last time the Knickerbockers won it all, won it in 70-73 under Red Holtzman, and got to the finals famously as an 8 seed in 99. But not a lot in there. The Patrick Ewing years were good, but all those teams in the East with, had the Bad Boys Pistons, and then you had Michael Jordan and the Bulls. It was, and you had Celtics in there. It was hard to crack through for them. And last night they were right there having it. And Jalen Brunson almost feels like he's out of central casting to be a star at the Garden, doesn't he?
He does, and he's unbelievable. I mean, obviously he kind of gets overshadowed last night because of Tyrese Maxey, the finish, and what he did. Brunson was unbelievable last night, and he's been unbelievable all season.
Shaking and baking. Mm-hmm. He had some big turnovers late.
Sure.
But his game, reminiscent of, evocative of – Clyde Frazier and Waltman and Earl Monroe and great players from Knicks past, and even other great Knicks, different position that Patrick Ewing played, big man versus a guy handling the ball, and even Bernard King, power forward and great outside shooter. But John Starks was like that, and it feels like if they can get to that next series, it will really ramp up.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the farther the Knicks go, the more and more buzz
is good for business.
It's great for business. I mean, it is, Madison Square Garden, and like you said, as much as the media kind of pushes it, it's good for the NBA. As much as we want to joke about it and stuff like that, that's going to get more eyes on the NBA, on the product, and certainly good for the league.
We heard Rob talk about I asked Rob either last week or 2 weeks ago about favorite building to go to out of those East buildings you just go to once a year, and he said easily Madison Square Garden. It was last week, and I've been to the Garden a couple of times, and you're sitting there, and I know it's been remodeled a million times, and this is the fourth or fifth different location for Madison Square Garden. This is the longest at one spot. Been there since 1968. And I think that's the oldest NBA building anybody plays in. But, you know, just billions have been spent on it in remodels through the years and of Penn Station through the years in that area around it. Literally, Bryant, a stone's throw from, you know, the Macy's, famous for Miracle on 34th Street, just right around, you know, Empire State Building, not far from it. You can sit in there and you can feel the big moments. Yeah. And I've sat in there and I thought, man, wonder what it was like that night for Ali Frazier.
Oh man,
what was it like?
It's crazy.
You know, what's it been like for all the concerts?
Sure.
What was it like to be there when the Stones recorded "Get Your Ya-Ya's Out Live"? What would it be like? I mean, they may go back and record there.
Could definitely making a comeback.
That could almost be the high hard one.
Yeah.
What's more painful to watch, Tiger Woods at Augusta or Mick Jagger on stage Sunday night in Houston?
Oh, no. Great question.
I'm scared the hip was going to go the other direction.
Well, yes, that is definitely something you got to keep in mind. And Tiger Woods dropping his new clothing line today. How about that? So,
I saw him on the Sunday Today night. Show this morning.
Yeah, sure was. He was on the Tonight
With
Show, I think,
Carson
last
Daly.
Night. Yeah, so he's been
making
his
rounds in the Big Apple.
Trying to push his product. He's a businessman now, Brett.
And tell us he's going to play at the PGA. Well, come on, Tiger. Yeah. No, please don't.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that hope was always there, but it feels
unlikely. Love the Garden, love that atmosphere last night. And tonight on the Fame Parquet, Boston tries to close out the Heat. The Heat stole one.
Sure.
Might end up being good for Boston. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, certainly. And we'll see what they look like tonight, obviously, with Kristaps Porzingis and his injury with him out of the fold. I still think, you know, they get the win and wrap this up, and I'm sure they want to wrap this up and try to get a little bit of extra time for Porzingis. But, you know, like you mentioned, I'm far more interested tonight in this Mavericks-Clippers game. You mentioned
pressure
it.
On. Mavericks, pressure on Clippers.
A 3.5-point favorite tonight on the road.
That's a shot.
That's bulletin board material, Brett.
It is. I mean, for that veteran team, I know they got some missing parts, but, you know, Dallas – A lot of the guys really helping Dallas. Gaffer and Washington got it deadline time. Mm-hmm. Dallas did a good job at deadline
they
time. Remember when I was infatuated with Gaffer?
Absolutely, yeah.
And thinking maybe somewhere somebody and you know if the Grizzlies had not had what happened to them, you know, they were never making that kind of deal during the season. And I don't think he would have wanted that. He wanted to go somewhere he could play in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And he's found it and is playing his role extremely well right now with Dallas. And so it's going to be interesting tonight. You know, you've asked the past couple of games of, you know, who's that other guy that steps up tonight for the Mavericks? And that's going to be interesting here tonight. You know what you're going to get from Luka. You know what you're going to get from Kyrie. But if you want to take down that beast of the Clippers, you've got to have more than just those two guys stepping up. And so that's kind of going to be the game inside of the game tonight.
We're at the end of our four games on a day. There's just not enough inventory left.
No.
Timberwolves and Nuggets, they don't get started until Saturday.
Crazy. And that's the series that everybody now is so excited about with the Nuggets and trying to go back-to-back. And what the Timberwolves showed in that first series, extremely impressive. That one's going to be a tough one.
How Anthony Edwards rubbed Kevin Durant's nose in it.
And I mean, just went back and forth that entire series. And I mean, that one picture from, what was it, game one or two, where, you know, Kevin Durant's walking down and Anthony Edwards is giving it to him. And he just, I mean, all he can do is smile and take it. And then, I mean, even more, that's, you know, Anthony Edwards has come out and said, Kevin Durant's my favorite player. And then when that series is over, he gets done being swept, and Kevin Durant comes out and says, my favorite player to watch in the NBA is Anthony Edwards. He's unbelievable. The league is his. I mean, that's such a cool story for him, for Anthony Edwards, and he's an unbelievable player.
And we asked that yesterday, kind of player that we like watching the most, and I think it's Bronson for me.
It's good pick. I mean, plenty of good ones in this one, and plenty of young picks. I mean, Brunson
and new names, SGA.
Exactly. Yep. Yep, and new names that just haven't had that shot or are really young and kind of coming into their own right now, and it's fun to watch. I mean, you've mentioned it a couple of times, but kind of getting away from the LeBrons, the KDs, the Stephs, the ADs, and you know, kind of getting into this new group of stars has really been a fun storyline to watch play out in these NBA playoffs. Well, let's go ahead and get to a break, and when we come back, a lot of interesting games last night in Major League Baseball. I've already got a couple finals from today's action. So let's get to a break. When we come back, we'll talk some baseball. That's next on Sports Time.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Sports Time on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by Lexus of Memphis. Here are your hosts, Brett Stats-Norsworthy and Bryant Dacus.
Well, it's been an interesting couple of days in Major League Baseball. A lot of day games today. With it being a Wednesday, you get a lot of day action. The Cardinals already done for the day. 4-1 losers in Detroit against the Tigers. They lost the second of their doubleheader last night against the Tigers, so a series
back
loss.
Back to last place.
It's been a rough week, a rough start to the week. After last week, you know, we came in Monday talking about last week could have been the best week since, you know, what 2022 or you know, been a while. To really, really rough start to the week for the Cardinals against Detroit.
That's when you know you're bad. You're in last place, uh-huh. You're a couple under 500, uh-huh. And you don't feel that bad about it.
That's right. So, you know, that's how it's going right now. And, hey, you know what? That's okay. And it's not really, but whatever. We've got a couple other games going on right now, but we do have one other final. Brewers all over the Rays, 7-1. After last night's just crazy, you know, bench clearing and kind of was the headline of the night outside
of
the
bench clearing? There was no brawl to it.
Yeah, they were just jawing, it looked like, and then
baseball.
I don't know what exactly it was. It was a soft grounder to the first baseman.
Written or unwritten rule broken?
I'm gonna say unwritten. Just a pure guess, because there definitely wasn't anything that you saw.
Unwritten rule book thicker than the written rule book?
Certainly, by a wide margin.
Not even close.
So it was weird because it was like, it was just a soft ground ball to first baseman. He flips it up to Uribe. Uribe steps on the bag. They start chirping at each other. And then Uribe just throws a punch at him. And they kind of go back and forth. Bench is clear. They get it under wraps pretty quick. But we do have suspensions from that game. Abner Uribe, 6-game suspension. Freddie Peralta, 5-game suspension. Manager
Pat
Murphy.
That's serious.
That's serious stuff. Manager Pat Murphy, a 2-game suspension.
Well, he was running hot all night.
He was, and was certainly running hot during that. Both Uribe and Peralta are trying to get those lessened if they can, but I don't know if they will. And then for the Rays, Jose Siri, who was the other party in the bench clearing, he was the batter while it was happening. Jose Siri gets a 3-game suspension, so certainly not half
one
of the Uribe.
One of the best baseball brawls ever, and I can't remember who they were playing, but the Texas Rangers, they had a kind of a hot-headed player, Lenny Randle, and they had been going at it for a couple games against the other team and during this game, and he drags a bunt perfectly down kind of the first baseline that the pitcher has to field.
Yeah.
And when the pitcher goes to field it, he just ties into him. We didn't even try to get to first. And he totally baited him. It was great.
That's great.
World record speed from the bullpen because it was real brawl.
Oh, man. Oh, goodness. Wow. Yeah. I think a lot of times I just think those bullpen guys get so tired, you know, stuck in the bullpen. You know, it's just cramped space. And so they just like, let's just get a stretch in. Let's
jog out
there. By the time they're out there, by the time they get to what's actually going on, it's all done and they're just standing around.
Tonight in baseball, good stuff with Yankees and Orioles.
Yeah, no, and that's been a really fun series to watch, and tonight should be a good one as well. Burns has been really good. Gill's been good for the Yankees as well, so that should be a fun game. You mentioned it during a break, but this Braves and Mariners series has been really good those first two games. Braves on top.
Two great games.
Really good games.
And those games will sell a lot of tickets this year for Seattle.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. But Braves all over the Mariners right now. 5-0. They hung four on them in the fourth inning. It felt like the Braves, after losing and kind of how those games played these last two nights, it felt like the Braves were going to come out and win this one today. I mentioned it earlier. White Sox were on top of the Twins when we were talking about it. It was tied. Now 10-5 lead for the Twins over the White Sox. So it just gets continues to get worse. And don't look now. But we've been talking about the matchup of seven-win teams with Rockies and Marlins, but don't look now, a matchup between 14-win teams, Pirates 14-17 going up against the Athletics 14-17. Right now, A's on top through five innings, 3-0. How about the A's? They've been playing good baseball.
And we haven't heard from our Pirate friend after they got back down there to last place for a little while.
No, I love our Pirate friend. He's,
check in with us.
Yeah, check in. Let us know how you're doing. I'm sure the story, Paul Skeens.
The story today that is now all balled up at the Kansas State Legislature. Mm-hmm. They're not going to get the money for the Chiefs or the Royals to go into the Kansas suburbs. Mm-hmm. And the Royals owner has said, we're not going to be here one day past 2030 at Kauffman Field.
Yeah, so I mean that's going to be a really interesting kind of situation to watch and see how that plays out, because you know, and call bluff, I don't know.
Kansas, call bluff. Yeah. Where are you going? Because by 2030, either expansion or someone's going to land in La La Land, not Nashville, aren't they?
Oh, you got to think. I mean, it feels like every time there's even the idea of expansion or the idea of relocation, Nashville's number one. So you got to think that that's coming in the near future.
What are even some other places that would be?
What are some other places that get thrown out there?
It's not Charlotte.
No, Charlotte's not. Because
they're having trouble getting their football stadium deal done.
Yeah. I think you see.
Not Orlando. No. Not Jacksonville.
No.
It's not. You know, the first place you got to look is what has other Big Four sports in it?
Yeah.
And that doesn't have baseball. That's the likelihood. Vegas being taken off the scene was a little bit like, you know, forever. Having the carrot out there being Los Angeles really helped a lot of markets get in gear to get stadium deals done, because everybody was threatening, or we'll move to Los Angeles.
Right.
Well, you can't threaten. They're not going to get three teams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
So once a team is in Nashville and in Vegas, that takes away, okay, you know, back to Montreal with downtown retractable roof.
Yeah.
We tried that once with downtown retractable roof in Montreal, and they couldn't get the roof back open after they shut it.
Well, that's an issue. That can't happen. Kind of takes the retractable roof out of it, you know.
And the cost overruns for the 76 Olympics in Montreal, they're still paying for.
Really? Wow. That bad, huh? Yeah, I just don't see. I've pulled up a list of
Major League Baseball, New Orleans, no.
Yeah, that's I pulled up
San Antonio.
No, that's number one. I pulled up a story from ESPN of kind of the potential landing spots for MLB expansion. And San Antonio, Austin was the first one. I don't see that working.
Wait a second. San Antonio, Austin.
Well, San Antonio or Austin.
Okay, because I was going to say, that's not like Memphis, West Memphis.
No. It's just, I think it just, instead of having one for San Antonio, one for Austin, they just put it together, and the explanation is.
Portland, is that on the list?
Portland's on here. Yeah, I'll run through the list real quick. Austin, San Antonio. So Austin, San Antonio. Charlotte, I don't see that. Mexico City, no thank you. Montreal. Nashville, Orlando, that's been kind of a popular one lately. Portland is on here.
Indianapolis?
I don't see Indianapolis on here. Raleigh, another North Carolina. San Jose, California. Salt Lake City. I don't see that. That's it. That's all.
That's kind of the new Nashville.
It sure is. I mean, now hockey's going to Salt Lake City, but I don't know. I know Mexico City, that's
I call their bluff.
Montreal. I do
if
too.
I'm Kansas City.
Yeah, I don't
spend your own
happening.
Money.
Yeah, I'm with you. But we'll see. That's definitely going to be a storyline, you know, to see with Kansas City what happens there. But let's go ahead, wrap up our first hour, and get to a break. And when we come back, we're talking golf with John Goins.